Support for WPR comes from Tomorrow River Community Virtual School, delivering Waldorf-inspired live virtual lessons to grades 4K through 8th, open to all Wisconsin students. More is at trcvs.org. Support for WPR comes from the Dram Corporation, manufacturing professional-grade lawn and garden products since 1941, inventors of the 400 water breaker nozzle and the rain wand. DRAMM.com.
Philip K. Dick was married 5 times. His third wife was Ann Williams Rubenstein. She now goes by the name Ann Dick. They were married for 6 years, from 1959 to 1965, and she's written a book that chronicles their relationship. It's called The Search for Philip K. Dick. Ann Dick tells Steve Paulson about the first time she met Dick in October 1958.
My first husband was a poet, and he had died several weeks before. Here I am living way out in the country. We had been in the city interacting with writers and painters. So I was always interested in people in the arts, and I'd heard this writer had moved to town. So I decided to go down and call on them one afternoon. And so I did. I had to climb their fence because I couldn't make the gate work.
And this was Philip Dick and his wife at the time.
Yes, he was married at the time. He left his wife for me, which I still feel a little guilty about if I think about it. But we had a very intense relationship, so maybe it was okay. But
So what was it like that first time you met him?
You know, I looked at him, and I thought, I've known this person forever. Like, you know, you felt like previous lifetimes, although I don't really believe in previous lifetimes, but that's what it felt like. And he had these gray-green eyes that were rather deeply set in his head, and they sort of like had a light in them, seemed like a flickering light or something, quite brilliant. So that was my first impression. He's a nice-looking man, he was 29 years old then.
And you were 30 at the time.
I was a year and 11 months older. Later on, he'd keep referring to his older wife. Made me so mad.
And you also had 3 young daughters.
Oh, yes, and he just loved my daughters. He was a wonderful father.
Uh-huh.
He played games with them. He made up stories for them. We took them on excursions. We went to the beach. He baked birthday cakes for them. You know, he was just about the perfect husband and perfect father. I mean, if you can imagine the best husband you can imagine, Philip Dick was better than you could imagine.
Wow.
I think it was very stressful for him.
Stressful in what way?
Well, you know, when we were getting divorced, which I never quite understood because he always claimed that I was the great love of his life, he wrote a story after we separated, and it was about this man who was just exhausted, and he goes to meet his wife and children at the airport. Meanwhile, there is like an invasion of proxers who look like human beings who are taking over the earth, some kind of unpleasant aliens. And he gets to the airport, and he sees his wife and children, and he realizes they're proxers. But that's the way he felt, I think. I think he put all this effort into this marriage, and he was just, and his writing, and being a father, and he was just burned out. It wasn't the real him, maybe. I don't know. He's a mystery. You can't figure him out.
Huh. Now, you and Philip Dick were together for 5 years, from 1958 to 64, and this was a very prolific time in his writing career. And it was when he wrote some of his most acclaimed novels, including The Man in the High Castle.
Yes, he did. The books that made him world famous.
So was it just an accident that he had such a productive period, or do you think that had something to do with the two of you being together?
You know, I think it was love. Love is a very creative force. I think that there was a lot of real love between us, despite the fact that he had some problems. And I'm sure I wasn't the easiest wife on earth either.
When you say he had some problems, what do you mean?
Like when we'd go on an excursion, he'd unplug all the electric cords and he'd say, I'm afraid that there'll be a fire, that rats will gnaw them and we'll have a fire. The house will burn down while we're gone. And then he seemed to think I was going to run over him in the car on one occasion.
Do you think there was any connection between those strange habits and what he wrote about, which was kind of strange in itself?
Oh, I think those books were an autobiography of a strange sort. You know, like a postmodern surrealist autobiography with touches of Jungian dream therapy.
So what do you, I mean, if you don't mind my asking, what caused you to split up with him? Why did he leave?
He left about 17 times and came back and left and came back. He was very tormented. He writes of that period that he was having a psychotic break, but I don't know what that really means. Something was happening to him. I really don't know what it was. That's why I wrote the book, to try to figure out what happened. Hmm. I never did know.
You must have wondered about this all these years. I mean, you sort of didn't know why he left in the end.
No, in fact, one day he was packing his suitcase to leave, and he sat down in the bed heavily, and he said, "You're the great love of my life." And I said, "Well, why are you leaving? Why are you leaving?" And he got up and packed his suitcase and left. I mean, it was very strange. Huh. I have to laugh, because what else can you do but laugh except cry, and I don't feel like doing that.
Well, various people have talked about his inner demons, and, you know, you've just mentioned that, you know, maybe there was something psychotic going on there.
Well, those are just words. You know, I don't believe in those words even.
Uh-huh.
He was a very unusual man, and he was a very great genius, I think. And his circuits weren't wired the same as many other people. But on the other hand, we have a culture of extreme conformity in this country, so maybe he wasn't that far out.
Hmm.
You know, the English cherish their eccentrics.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, I mean, a lot of people have said, oh, you know, Philip K. Dick kind of, you know, descended into madness. It sounds like you're saying that that's been overplayed, that whole narrative.
Oh, I would say so. But I think he liked playing roles, and if somebody around wanted him to descend into madness, he would descend into madness for a while. Try that.
Huh.
Try out that role. But I think he did have some inner problems also.
When was the last time you talked with Philip Dick?
Oh, about a month before he died. You know, he came back over the years, and he phoned me over the years. Not very often, but we weren't exactly in touch because he never really did explain why he left, and I was afraid to ask him for fear he wouldn't call again.
Hmm.
I don't know why. Something like that.
So what did you talk about that last time that the two of you did talk?
Maybe I had a premonition on some level that he wasn't going to live very much longer. And I thought, well, if you don't tell people you love them while they're alive, that's really a shame. So I said, you know, I always love you. And there was just a dead silence. He didn't say anything. And then the next time I talked to him, I guess I talked to him a couple of times in the couple of months before his death, he was telling me all about his new girlfriend, you know, with great vigor.
So did writing the book about him cause you to change the way you've come to think about Philip Dick?
Oh, yes. I don't think you can get into something that involved and do that much research and talk to that many people without your ideas evolving. But I think the basic feeling I have about him is still kicking around somewhere, and I admire him more the more the years go on. The more I see in his writing, I'm not sure I understood it way back then. I enjoyed it. But when you read the entire oeuvre, as they say, you know, in the order in which it was written, it really is quite fantastic. And the stories of the 50s before I even met him are wonderful, too.
Sounds like also you, not only have you come to appreciate his writing more, maybe you, learn to, forgive him is the right word. But...
Yes, I forgive him. I do forgive him.
Uh-huh. What do you think people still don't understand about Philip Dick?
Oh, he is such a complicated man. I think people are very mysterious anyway, and he had more dials and circuits and gears than anybody who ever lived. I think that someone like Philip comes along every 1,000 years or so. He is so unique, so unusual.
Anne Dick is Dick's third wife, and she's the author of The Search for Philip K. Dick. She spoke with Steve Paulson.